B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Zoe.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Happy birthday, Zoe.
Thank you. Let's get that out of the way.
Zoe likes his birthday. It's my card. It's hard, he said this morning on Twitter.
You get my card with a tripod for a picture and everybody sign.
He does like his birthday. For a man who hates when grown men...
I don't like my birthday because it indicates
when
age.
When a grown man has his birthday celebrated...
I hate that.
The way you hate it when Brady does.
Oh. Well, to stand there and sing to a man that doesn't know you. It's different. Like, you guys know me. You know?
It's true.
I'm sure it's different with Tom, with people inside. You know, guys he actually plays with. Come, hey, happy birthday. Oh, thank you. That's nice. Thanks. But for a man in his jersey to sing it on a hillside... In unison, as they say, ready, one, two, three, sing.
You know, if
and then stand in line for a piece of his cake.
If people had shown up in Scott Zolak jerseys in the mid-90s and saying happy birthday to you.
I'd have shook their hands. Yeah.
You would have loved it.
Yeah.
Who are you kidding?
Yeah.
So.
Did you get any presents this morning?
Not yet.
No presents?
Nothing.
Nope.
Not a
single present.
Nah, I just said this. The mornings are just, you know what mornings are like in your house. Just, I don't want to deal with it. You wake up, barely waking up, getting the kids out. Like, no, we'll do this later.
All right.
Yeah.
What do you want to start with today? We got a Friday here. We got a lot of stuff from the week, so we're talking about everything we've talked about.
Oh, I think the update from Jeff Howe.
Yes.
I think that's
where I wanted to start.
That's the hot topic there. Yeah.
The hot topic of the day. The update from Jeff Howe. What do you think overall of Jeff Howe's story here on The Athletic?
That's exactly what I thought would happen.
Another answer from
no,
the
no,
team?
No.
That's exactly what I thought would happen, too.
I thought based on doing these things with that group, how it goes.
What do you always tell me about liars, though? What do you tell me?
Too much detail.
Right? You give too much detail, you start getting suspicious. Right. There is so much detail in this story.
Like, when you go to the dentist, I don't even know exactly what time you went to the dentist and what time you get out of there. I don't need any pictures from it.
And there are things that are just too convenient in this story that I am very suspicious of it. That's what I would say. It's a little too convenient, and it's so detailed that I'm getting suspicious. And when I see this, after Bill Belichick refused to answer the question the other day, he would not answer the question about where the scout was. He just said he was doing his job. Then you get this version of what the scout was doing in the press box that day. There's no name attached to it. There's no one on the record saying it. So if it turns out not to be true, that the scout, let's say the scout was right there watching the camera.
Right. Well, the tape doesn't lie. So you'll be able to tell exactly based on you run that tape. You'll see exactly.
Oh, the Bengals tape.
What's that?
The Bengals tape or the Patriots tape?
The Patriots tape.
No, I'm talking about where the scout was.
And in conjunction with the Bengals tape.
Yeah, I'm just saying where was the scout, right? We were asking that question the other day. Bill didn't want to answer that question. But then you get such a detailed account of where the scout was.
Yeah.
Without Bill having to say it.
Well, it's easy to call.
But saying it through his guys in the media, that you then say, yeah, and if it turns out not to be true, you could say, I didn't know.
Well, all you have to do.
There's plausible deniability built in when you just feed it to someone in the media as opposed to just saying it yourself. When you say it yourself, it better be damn true.
Yeah, see, the press box. And the press box is not first come, first serve. This isn't standing room only, first come, first serve, general admission in a press box. So all you have to do is get in touch with Cleveland. And get the seating chart. Who did you assign seats to?
Well, not necessarily.
That's the way it is on the road.
Yeah, but
it's assigned.
I know. It's assigned in Foxborough every week. But I could tell you, for the years before I was doing this, I'd sit in the press box before I was doing pre and post here on the Sports Hub. And it was like every week you would see, all right, there's five or six open seats there that are unoccupied this week. I know it doesn't happen often there.
That's because when you float.
It's typically a big game when you're playing the Patriots, but I wasn't often assigned a seat, and I would just find one.
Yeah.
All the time.
Okay.
So it's not, I don't find that part suspicious. Like,
well, some places are different. They're smaller.
Especially in a place like Cleveland, where they don't have the press that we have in New England.
Right.
Like, I'm sure they have open seats.
So if there's open seats, boom, you could take them.
Yes. It's not like a playoff game or anything. So the Patriots advanced scout arrived at First Energy Stadium about 3 hours before the game. During the time before kickoff, the Patriots production crew interviewed the scout on camera. As part of the interview, the scout went through some bullet points about his normal activity on game days, including what he examines during games. A portion of his game day studies include notes on the sideline, which is permissible by NFL rules, and routine scouting activity for teams league-wide. That feels like a bit much. We know that. Of course, you can look at the sideline and write something down. After the conclusion of the interview, the production crew shot B-roll, alternative video footage that airs over an interview. From the press box, the scout was assigned one seat in the third row, and the video crew was assigned one seat next to him. They shot some B-roll of the scout from next to him before the game and then into the first quarter. Because the scout was the subject of those candid shots, he was going about his business and attempting to block them out of his sight line to try to deflect the attention of having a production crew following him around in a work environment. These are just some of the extra details that I'm like, what? Wait, what? Why is that pertinent to the story? Well,
Jeff's trying to describe what happened.
I know he is. Jeff wasn't there, okay? Right. Jeff's getting this from someone who was or someone who's aware of what was going on there. This just seems like a little too much detail. Why is it that you're calling out sick today? What? You're sick. It's fine. No, I don't need to know all those details. From there, the crew maneuvered about the press box and shot more B-roll of the scout, including some shots over his shoulder. Then the videographer relocated to the front row to an unoccupied section of the press box with the producer station behind the camera. From the scout's location in the third row, he eventually noticed the crew had moved locations but couldn't decipher what the crew had been shooting due to the angle between them. Like, just saying that the guy wasn't paying attention would be better.
Yeah.
But, guy was not paying attention.
Was it a 45 or 55 degree angle?
He was in the third row. They were in the front. He was not paying attention to them. Now it's that he was, was he trying to decipher what they were doing? He was trying to, but the angle, he was just so cut off by that angle that, what is this?
Yeah.
Why don't you say that he was in the third row, they were in the first, they weren't near each other. End of story. The angle. He couldn't decipher what the crew had been shooting due to the angle between them. The scout was handling his own game day job responsibilities. Ah, yes, there's Bill. He was doing his job. Mm-hmm. The camera was attached to a monitor, so anyone in close proximity could see what the crew was shooting.
So I know that they travel with that. They have those little mini monitors. They're like an iPad. And it's for the producer so he can see the light. It's lighting. I know you have the flip-down little screen on a camera, but it doesn't give the light. They travel with these monitors for the light so they could see the shot.
This is the part that I find ridiculously convenient. This next part. And for 8 minutes while the camera was fixed on the Bengals sideline, a Bengals employee recorded video of that monitor before reporting the activity to security. So Jeff has previously reported that it was an 8-minute video that the Bengals guy took. I have that correct, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the only 8 minutes that they have was the only 8 minutes that they spent on the sideline. It wasn't 8.5 minutes, 9 minutes, 10 minutes. I mean, it could be way more than that. But now the Bengals guy captured the exact 8 minutes. The Patriots video was 8 minutes, and the Bengals video was exactly 8 minutes. That's what that seems to suggest, which I just think flies in the face of, you know, common sense. Are you kidding me? They did exactly 8 minutes, and that happened to be the exact 8 minutes the Bengals captured? What?
I didn't read it that way at all. I didn't read it that way at all. I read they were filming multiple things during the first quarter, including shots of the press box, and then they set up for however long. I didn't read it as they set up only for 8 minutes.
It says for 8 minutes while the camera was fixed on the Bengals sideline, a Bengals employee recorded video of that monitor before reporting the activity to security. So maybe it's just reiterating
for
what it was.
For 8 of those minutes.
Okay.
That's how I read it. All for right. 8 of those, whatever total was,
Okay.
Like, that's what I'm saying is they're going to get, the league is going to get the entire video.
But it wasn't the entire first quarter based on that story. That's the big story for me. It wasn't the entire first quarter. It was
Maybe Hal's talking to somebody. It's got the video and he's taking you through the process
because
of what was filmed.
I put it in the context of the story how there was B-roll of the scout being taken. There were the shots over his shoulder. All this going on in the first quarter. And then they grabbed 8 minutes of the sideline. That happened to be the exact 8 minutes the Bengals grabbed.
Yeah, if you see a still camera.
Yeah. It sounds like they grabbed more than 8 minutes, and the Bengals recorded 8 minutes of it. That's the way I read
it. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that would seem believable.
That's what I would believe.
That it was more than 8 minutes, and the Bengals happened to catch 8 minutes of it.
With the sit-down interview and all that.
I think you're trying hard to pick it apart, and maybe you can... If you're looking to pick it apart as you're reading it, you can read it that way.
Well, I would put it in the context of these guys were doing so many different things that had nothing to do with the sideline.
Yeah, I would think that if you watch the second they walk into that stadium, it's probably 25 minutes of total video on the premises, and maybe the last 8 minutes is still shot of the sideline.
So as he writes, to answer the remaining question, no, the scout was not in a position to notice the crew was shooting video of the sideline. You know what would have been easier? Just Bill answering that question the other day. No, he wasn't aware of what it was. He was not near them. He didn't know. Boom. End of story. Instead of going through this charade. That's what it is. This is a charade when you do stuff like that. You know, this is the Pats version now. That they want to talk about deciphering through the angles from the third row to the first row. Why not just say the other day, if you're truly interested in just being open and transparent and honest about it, don't get pissed off at the podium and just say, no, our scout was nowhere near him. He didn't know this happened. He was completely unaware. He wasn't near them. They had moved somewhere else in the press box. End of story. That takes 5 seconds.
I'm sure Bill will tell
that. Instead, you get this.
Well, I'm sure Bill will tell that to them, to the investigators, when I talk to them. It doesn't matter what Jeff Howe thinks or any of these people.
And Jeff Howe didn't come up with this on his own. Someone's telling him this. Did the Bengals tell him this?
Maybe it's Cleveland. I don't know.
Oh, stop.
No, I don't know.
Believe that.
Well, it could be from here, sure. I mean, Jeff's
it
a reporter
is
from
here. You think the NFL called Jeff and told him these things?
I think Jeff would dig deeper.
I didn't say he wouldn't.
Yeah.
This isn't even about Jeff. This is about
Cleveland.
The Patriots.
I'd call Cleveland. I think.
Well, his cohort from The Athletic had the details from Cincinnati, too, right? So maybe they're working together.
Oh, my God. You guys really think this is from somewhere other than New England?
Well, unless football's given it.
Oh, my God. You can't be
that. So then football's
naive.
Involved then. If football's given it, then football's involved.
Yeah. This is
if you truly believe that this is coming
Patriots
from football, then football's
coming back
involved.
After Bill refusing to answer the question about the scout the other day. They didn't want to answer that question for some reason, and they still haven't answered the question, but they want this version out there for you to know that scout was nowhere near there. But if it turns out he was near there, we never said anything about the scout. There's total plausible deniability. They want it both ways. That's what this is. That's what this story is. It's their version.
I don't know. Maybe I'm not thinking it's a big deal because I tend to believe the story and I tend to believe everything. With the way this
That's
hasn't,
fine.
This
you can believe
blown
the story.
Up nationally, I kind of believe the story.
Scott Pioli was pretty good on this. He went on Spain's podcast. She does that podcast.
It might be true, but why can't Bill just say it? That's my question.
Bill gets asked about the rookie class. He won't give you anything.
Because as much as you can say...
He never gives detail.
Well, yeah, okay. That doesn't mean it's an excuse to not give detail when you're being accused of something. It's his legacy on the line. It's only his legacy and his reputation that takes hits when these things come up. It's in his best interest to talk about it, whether he likes it or not. People aren't saying today, oh, those dirty cameramen that work for New England. No, they're saying Bill Belichick is a cheater. That's what people are saying out there.
Would you want your boss to take the hit, or do you want him to put it on you? Publicly.
Who? Whose boss? Who are we referring to? The
scout?
You
personally. Would you want your boss to take the hit for you or put it out there publicly
I don't understand the question, how it's relevant to what we're talking about here.
Saying he's taking the hit. Belichick's taking the hit for this publicly,
no.
Even if it's not his fault.
Oh, no, not by choice. He's not falling on a sword. He's getting beat up publicly by all the national guys, by fans across the country. Then he doesn't care. Why? If he doesn't care, I don't know why this story's out there.
I just think he's being a
Something
good leader.
Something tells me he cares.
He's being a good leader of the organization by taking the hit himself.
Or just telling the truth about what he knows. If his guy, the scout, had nothing to do with it, it's in his best interest to say so. It's in his best interest, the scout's best interest, the franchise's best interest to just say, no, the scout had nothing to do with this.
And it's not in the best interest of
because
the people whose fault it actually is, if that's the case.
As much as he can say that this isn't about football, his scout is about football. His scout is his guy. That's the football department, not the video production media department. That's him and his guy. That's what he's got to answer for. And he could easily just say, no, he wasn't there. He had nothing to do with this. So why not just do it? Instead of this, the angles from the third row to the front row. What is all of this? Was he nearby and did he know or not? It's a simple question with now a very complicated and convoluted answer. That's all. 617-779-0985. That's the phone number for you. We got more to get to on what? On this game this weekend, we'll, of course, get the picks in at 10:50. RJ Bell today, Phil Perry. Jam-packed day here on Zolak and Bertrand. That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody. It feels like a perfect night to dress up like hipsters and make fun of our exes. It feels like a perfect night.
Thanks, Jim.
Breakfast at midnight to fall in love with strangers.
My jam.
Yeah, we're happy, free, confused, and lonely at the same time. It's miserable and magical. Oh yeah, tonight's
you're calling if it's your birthday too. I got my man Marshall Hook out there. It's his birthday. Birthday.
Happy birthday, Marshall.
Take a swift. I feel 22. About me, yeah. Who else? Jamie Foxx's birthday. Get the cop in Foxborough who lets me in the back lot. It's his birthday. Told me happy birthday early last week. Said, "Oh, we share a birthday." Didn't know that.
Now he's getting ready for it.
Now I got to get him a birthday present. Yep.
All right then. 617-779-0985. Peter in New Hampshire. Hey, Peter.
Hey, guys. Happy birthday. So.
Hi. Yep, don't do that. I'm joking. What's up?
Beetle, I don't quite understand what your problem is with Jeff Howe's story. Is too much detail? Is that, are you not able to speculate and make this a hotter take than it already is? Is that what the issue is?
No, I don't think that's the issue at all.
Oh, so the Patriots are liars? Are they putting out misinformation?
I don't trust the Patriots when they give us their version of events when they get accused of things. No, I don't.
And you work for the team, correct?
I do not. I work for 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If I were the Patriots, I would have you pulled off the broadcast.
Oh, that's extreme.
Okay. Well, I just go by what their track record is and what the history is.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Like, when this stuff breaks... Yeah, I'm not going to take your version of events just quite yet. I'm going to wait and see.
Yeah. I work here also. So as do I work down there. And the thing is, I work with
these people.
Mind,
you're not allowed, yeah. You're not allowed to be critical of the team is what you're not allowed to be. And so, therefore, can't talk about the games before or after them because you're not allowed to be critical.
I bet there are plenty
of Patriots fans that agree with Peter. I agree.
Peter's just playing out the tape there. Based on your reaction to the Jeff Howell story, I myself didn't find anything wrong with it. I thought it was a good timeline of events, and it wasn't put forth by, the Patriots standing up there. Here's exactly what happened. Jeff went and talked to people.
I think
he wrote about
the story
it in
itself in a vacuum. It's about the fact that the other day, publicly at a podium, Bill Belichick had an opportunity to answer simply and directly on the question of where the scout was. He chose not to.
But he doesn't know.
I'm sure he didn't even ask.
He doesn't know where his scout is?
No.
The scout that works on his scouting staff?
Especially if you didn't order the code red to fill.
Hold on, Hardy. Hold on.
No.
You don't think that Bill spoke to the scout between
Monday,
Sunday,
yes,
when this accusation happened, and when he took the podium on Wednesday?
Bill's
His own people?
Bill's not going to stand up there definitively and say he was sitting here, the other guy was standing there, because he doesn't know.
Especially if he didn't order the code red. If Bill didn't order the code red to film, like
he's on the sideline coaching the game.
That's on them.
And something happened in at the Cincinnati.
Well, then how did he know he was doing his job? Why did he say that then?
He probably goes to every
game.
How
does he know he was doing his job? He wasn't there. He wasn't able to see it. He was coaching a game.
What do you got? Four visiting scouts, right?
Maybe he wasn't doing his job. Maybe he was off getting a soda at the soda machine.
There's a lot of things that Belichick did in that press conference that I think he could have done a better job with. But speaking in great detail as to where everyone was sitting and where the cameras were and the timeline of events, how the hell is he supposed to know?
Because he spoke to the individual? Well, I mean, if you want to play that game, then how does Jeff Howe know anything?
But if he's given
he wasn't
so much
there
detail,
either.
Isn't he lying then if he's given too much
detail? Yeah, but that's in the context of a written report where you take notes and then you have hours, or in this case, days, to put everything together and write it out. And, you know, again, there's a lot on the line here. Belichick could be out money and draft picks. He doesn't want to misspeak. He doesn't want to say anything that he's not sure about. He's not sure because he wasn't there.
He won't answer a damn question about a rookie. Where Volan's trying to do a piece on rookies.
Well, that's par for the course. He's not going to answer anything about anything unless it's, you know, about the 62 Packers. You know, he's not going to speak at length and in great detail about anything. That's not his MO.
My issue is this, to sum this up in one sentence, that the Patriots won't give their version on the record versus doing it off the record. Just say it. If you're innocent, then just say it. Just say what you want to say behind the scenes publicly. Put your name to it. That's all. We all hate the anonymous sources in everything. It's an unfortunate just part of how journalism is done. But why can't you, if you're innocent, just say it. If you believe they haven't done anything, why don't you want them to say it too?
Didn't Belichick say they're innocent? He just didn't give details.
That has nothing to
if he answers one
us.
Of those questions for the details, he's going to get 50 more questions. Yeah. That's why he doesn't answer one, because he opens himself up to the rest of them.
So he can only not answer
one. You watched the documentary, right? The Saban Belichick documentary?
He can only not answer one, as opposed to answering one and then saying, I've given you enough. So yeah, he has to answer zero in order for that to be in effect, because it's hard for him to stonewall reporters. I know he doesn't have a lot of experience.
I just think it's a philosophy that he has.
That's fine, but in these cases, I don't think it's a good philosophy to have. In fact, I think when he gave his press conference, as I've referenced many times this week, he broke from that philosophy because he was under fire and the organization was under fire in Deflategate, and it was the best thing that came out of that was his defense of the team and himself during that entire saga. That press conference stood up as the most credible thing that the Patriots had done. That's why I said before the press conference, before he ever stepped up to that podium this week, that he should do it again. And then he didn't. He did not go down that road again. That was more credible.
Was a week they had two weeks to prepare for their opponent, and that was a Saturday after the game plan was in and they already had a week of practice.
You got a lot of excuses for this guy.
If he goes all in, he has to go all in, though. He answered every question at that press conference. That was a long press conference, and he answered every single detailed question, right?
Do you think that if he had done that this week again, if he had answered the questions that he could answer about one guy, the scout, that it would have derailed the team and derailed the week in their preparations for Cincinnati?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, in his mind, maybe it did. In his mind, maybe. I don't know. It's what he does every year. It's what he does year after year, all the time.
The problem is with Bill standing up there and going into great detail on this one is the barest truth of it all is, look, what happened in Cincinnati, I'm not sure. Probably nothing wrong and nothing nefarious. Yeah. But the reason why everyone thinks so is because we were doing it and got popped for it in 07. And we were taping teams all over the place, and that was really bad. So now everyone thinks we're doing it again because, yes, I was doing it 12 years ago. That's why he doesn't want to speak about it in great detail, because eventually someone's going to ask the question, hey, Bill, do you think everyone's crawling up your UU with a microscope here because you were, in fact, filming the other sidelines? And he's going to have to say, yep, if he's being honest and he's answering all these questions honestly.
He did mention that. He mentioned it the other day on the call with Cincinnati. He said, right? Didn't he mention that? It's sort of in passing that we try to stay on the right side of the line. That was just the other day.
Yeah. I don't remember.
He made reference to it already. He's already done that, I think. I'll find the quote. Let me dig it up. It was just the other day. He sort of made reference to that. I don't think they're running from that. I don't think they're running from 07. Everyone knows what they did, and they got caught, and I don't think they've ever really run from it. But I don't think he has.
But for a guy who doesn't want to talk about last week's game, he certainly doesn't want to talk about last decade's penalties and infractions.
Okay, and so just talk about where the scout was last Sunday, and we'll stick to that. That's all.
Scout,
just say the scout wasn't
there.
Do you think
the scout was where he was supposed to be? Do you think the scout had any?
I think he probably was.
Yeah.
I think he probably was in the right place.
Right. You get assigned a seat and you sit in it.
But when, and that's why I'm surprised when you don't just
attention,
say it.
Do you think he was paying attention to what the video crew was doing?
No.
And if they were down and they had found an unoccupied spot in the press box, like Hal's story said, and when you went over
no,
there to
you
take
don't
a
miss
look
anything.
At what they're, no.
If the game's going on, he's not missing anything.
No, I think the scout was probably fully ingrained in his job and what he was supposed
right.
to be doing.
He's doing his job because he's
Which
done his job
when,
every single week leading up to this point. I have no reason to believe he wasn't doing his job
now. Because if you don't, your balls are going to be handed to you when you get back.
What was some guy with, you know, one guy with one video camera doing on the other side of the press box? How the hell am I supposed to know?
Where was the scout?
I wasn't here.
He was completely unaware. He was in the back row. Those guys were up front. He didn't know. He didn't know anything about what they were doing. He had nothing to do with these guys. He was unaware of their activity. Boom. Done. He couldn't do it. He couldn't bring himself to do it. Instead, he got all mad and just kept saying he was doing his job.
But then again, if you give too much detail, but like, oh, what are you giving so much detail?
Well, this his answer on Wednesday compared to this story today from Jeff Howe is a laughable difference. Now we're talking about deciphering things from the third row and the angle was too much. And what? Why don't you say he didn't know? He was completely unaware.
Well, both these tapes won't lie.
Well, unless there's a... an angle if they weren't just taping the monitor
right.
and all of a sudden there's a wider view that shows the scout sitting next to the camera.
If you're filming the scout sitting down, you're going to see where he's sitting. And then if you move to another open seat down in front, that's going to show your angle. You're going to be able to put all this together on tape.
I think where the scout was is a question that needed to be answered. And I wasn't even suspicious about it until not answering the question and then this story.
Oh,
like, what is this? What is this explanation? Why could you just say it on Wednesday? Why the over-the-top explanation of this? Too much detail. It's a philosophy you guys both live by. Liars give too much detail.
Yeah, until you know the people involved, then you know what happened. I mean, pretty simple for me.
So you know what happened?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why would it be better for him to stand up and say all this? Wouldn't that be even worse if he's standing up there giving all this detail?
Wow, that's a lot of detail for a guy who wasn't there.
I've already given you the answer, Hardy. The answer is 10 seconds long. The scout was unaware of what it was that was going on. He was not paying any attention to them whatsoever. They were not near each other. That's not a lot of detail. That's not a lot of detail. That's different from he was doing his job. Oh, okay. All right.
So Bill's lying.
That doesn't answer the question, was he aware or not? No, I just said he's avoiding the question. I don't know if he's lying.
Guy did his job. We sent him here to do his job. He's doing his job.
Yeah, no, that's what he said on Wednesday.
That's
I heard
on,
it.
That's on them.
Hardy has headlines. We're running behind. We get the picks coming up at 10:50.
Cool.
First, our introduction. Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A loss of yardage in fourth down, and would they have gone for as a big broken tackle?
Lamar keeps. He's got the record. As he gets popped near the six by Neville Hewitt. On first down and goal, Jackson throws it, pass caught for the touchdown, Miles Boykin. Jackson spins, throws, pass caught, Ingram into the end zone for the touchdown.
Lamar Jackson wins again last night. As do the Ravens, 42-21 final.
Five touchdown passes. Again, it's the third time this year.
Five touchdowns.
I watched a lot of his
throws,
game last night.
And he also broke Michael Vick's rushing record last night. His single season rushing record already broken with a couple of games to go. We're already hearing reports that Lamar Jackson may not be playing in Week 17. Might be handing that duty off to RG3 for Baltimore.
Be like, smart.
That was
so smart.
Before last week's, what's that? Sorry.
I said it'd be smart.
Oh.
Be so smart.
Yeah.
So that was before they had even played last night. So they had three games left on their schedule, and they're already talking about resting a quarterback. You think they're feeling confident right now?
It's
I'm pretty
point,
sure they are.
It's
it was good
now.
Reason.
Post game, they bring extra jerseys so he could give away and sign. Because normally.
What a scene.
Like, there's Le'Veon Bell waiting in line to get a jersey. Like, a guy that went bowling.
He didn't take his game-worn jersey off from last night. He had other jerseys with him that he brought because so many guys wanted to do a jersey swap with him.
Did the interview after? He's a piece of work, man. He's just having fun. And then he went on set with NFL Network. They got the hats out because the hat and t-shirt game for them. They won their division last night. So check mark number one for them. Right now, it looks like everything's going through Baltimore.
This guy's great for the league. Lamar Jackson is great for the NFL. He's been one of the good stories this year about this league.
Kurt Warner was great on this. He put out a tweet about, he goes, it's not that people didn't believe in Lamar Jackson. You knew Lamar Jackson could play. What you didn't believe in was an offense like this, this option-based tight offense, could function in the National Football League. But only one team did, and that's Baltimore. You know, Baltimore and Greg Roman. Greg Roman is going to get a lot of looks, and he's going to get hired somewhere. And that's what you worry about with Lamar Jackson moving forward.
So it was
called convenient revisionist history. All these guys thought he could play.
Oh, no, yeah. It's
Bill Polian said he had to play receiver.
It's bull crap. It's total bull crap.
I know.
And I don't know what this looks like long term. I know we've discussed that.
It could be.
I don't know.
It could be a couple it years. It might not work. It might not work for 10 years.
Maybe it's a flash in the pan. I don't know.
Then stop it. Then somebody's got to stop.
That's what I say. Let's have someone stop this thing.
The Jets have speed up front. You know, they got a decent front.
This is a league where smart teams, look for inefficiencies in how the game is played. And the Ravens are doing a great job of that right now, finding an inefficiency or finding something to exploit because of the way teams have built their defenses in recent years. Now you might see teams react to it. Teams in their division first will start to build themselves and build their roster and what they look like a little differently, accounting for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in this style of offense. And then you see a shift, and then maybe what Lamar Jackson's doing in year one, you get all this tape, you get ready for year two, he's not as effective next year. That's happened with traditional pocket passing quarterbacks as well. So I don't know. We'll see. But as far as the story itself, it's really a good one for the league. And this, you know, constant comparison to Michael Vick goes on. And last night, in the cold, by the way, it was about 33 degrees. It was in cold weather in Baltimore. Didn't seem to affect him for all those people waiting to see how is he in the cold weather. Well, he threw 5 touchdowns last night. Phil Perry, we'll talk to him at noon about Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
5 touchdowns in the cold last night in Baltimore.
With no sleeves on.
Against a bad team. He breaks Vic's rushing record of 1,039 yards, which he set back in 2006. I love Michael Vick. You know I love him as a player. I just thought he was so spectacular, so ridiculously talented. Could have been the best ever, but he didn't put the work in. He just didn't. He didn't study. He didn't learn the way he should have. Yeah. He probably had some really bad coaching along the way. He could have been a lot better. He could have. And, of course, he wasted years of his career spending time in prison. That needs to be mentioned as well.
Sure.
So
served his time.
Lamar Jackson, the way that he runs the ball, though, to me is so much better than anything Michael Vick ever did running the ball. Michael Vick ran the football.
He was a stronger
electric runner. He did it, but it was always some mad scramble.
This guy's gazelle-like.
There was no thought behind the running in Michael Vick's game, was there?
This guy's gazelle-like. They had him dead twice last night on options where they had
process and coaching with the running for Lamar Jackson.
Guy. They had the dive guy. They had two ends sitting there waiting on Lamar, and he went right around him. Like I don't know how you combat the speed. When is the speed going to decrease? Spy doesn't work. You can't spy him.
He makes great decisions, too. It's like he always chooses the right play.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, decision-making, coaching, like there's thought behind
ride,
it.
It's
not thoughtless scrambling, like with a running around like a chicken with its head cut off.
It's not like Tebow who says, I'm not handing it off. I'm taking it and I'm ramming right into the line. He takes the smart play.
He got lit early in this game, too, man. He took a shot from a linebacker coming in. He got up and he's just laughing.
I saw that.
He's tough.
Well,
but that could crack your sternum like that.
That's
like
what
like
worries
that.
Me. Yeah. You know, I want to keep watching this. You know,
everybody's tough. All it takes is one hit to crack your sternum. That's it.
And
clavicle.
He does carry that ball like a loaf of bread sometimes, but he doesn't seem to screw up all that much. And it's not like he threw 5 touchdowns on 40 pass attempts last night. He was 15 of 23. One third of his passes were touchdown passes. 15 completions.
Which, again, like, that's not a sustainable stat. You're not going to do that.
I know.
You're not. And we've got the football card coming your way next. We'll get in the prime weekly picks. So stand by. We'll get to it right after this.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap. And the tip digs in, and then, boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
great prize for you an hour from now. We're doing our next Scotty's Kickoff Kid giveaway at 11:50. Just taking a look here. Peeking ahead, Zoe. It's for the game on December 21st. That would be the big game against Buffalo. And that's coming up an hour from now. You want to be here for that. 1 hour from now. Right now is the Prime Weekly Picks. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Westwood, a proud member of the Prime Motor Group's Westwood Collection on the Auto Mile. Visit mbwestwood.com. Mm. I want to get my pick in before Hardy does, if you don't mind today.
Sure.
Because I just want to block whatever he might do, and that is I'm taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to cover the 3.5 at Detroit this week. I like the Bucs like by a touchdown or more.
I like that, too.
Give me the Buccaneers this weekend.
I do.
Bucs at Lions. Bucs are -3.5.
Good.
Thank you. Tampa Bay. My pick is in. I wanted to get that out of the way, so I already couldn't pick the Lions.
That's fine. I'm not picking the Lions.
Not doing it.
Maybe you. Maybe
you got a lot of Lions picks this year.
Yeah.
Not this week.
Okay, good.
Jim, what do you have? What do you have on Seattle, Carolina final line? I think it's 4.5.
Seattle -6.
Oh, that went up. Jesus, I'll still take Seattle. Seattle's got to keep pace here. Got to stay going. I'll take them. Damn, we're up to 6, huh?
Yeah, the Lions.
A lot of money going.
See 4.
Right here, NFL Lions.
Google NFL Lions.
Why don't you just go to the website that we use?
I got FanDuel.
SportsBet Rhode Island.
Oh.
.com.
Okay.
That's what we use. That's what. All right. So we got Seattle and Tampa Bay so far.
Yep. What do you got, Hardy? Did you rub your beard some more?
Well, I was trying to go off of, here's all I wanted to do. I wanted to pick one of the picks that RJ Bell was picking for his super contest.
Yeah.
And not explain why. I don't like
just,
a lot of these
just
picks.
To see if he would rip you for it.
Yeah.
Because you think he's got something against you.
Hey, guys.
RJ Bell, 1 o'clock, sent a lovely gift basket.
I really
to us
like
yesterday.
That song you guys played at the beginning.
I think Jim's been in there eating the peanuts this
gets
morning.
Me excited.
I'm getting the scraps.
Bag of nuts.
You put nuts in your mouth?
I'm going to find out where he gets those gift baskets. Those are nice.
Nice. I think you pay a pretty penny for those.
You think
a
so?
Lot of packaging.
Yeah.
In there. A lot of poof in the bottom of it.
Well, I mean, he mailed it himself, though. He purchased it somewhere, and it looks like he mailed it. I don't think it was.
You know
mailed.
What I got nice ones right now?
Handwritten
Best note. Bank for your buck? Marshall's, Burlington Coat Factory, TJ Maxx, and those type of places.
I love how Zoe Scouts.
Zoe
Scouts.
No, good deals there, really?
Home Goods. No, they have like the big packages, you know, with clear wrapping, big bows.
You're telling me that
great
there's
gifts
good
for
deals.
Teachers, nurses, all that
You're
stuff.
You're telling me there's good deals at stores that are built on the premise of we have good deals?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Can't beat a good deal.
Hardy, you ready?
Yep.
Why don't you take a little longer looking at it?
Rams at Cowboys. Total is 49. I'm going under.
That's a great pick.
Rams, Cowboys, under.
That's a good pick.
Thanks.
I like that.
I don't know how much action that's getting this week, but I...
Yeah, we have 49.
What's that?
We have it at 49 as
yeah,
well.
Okay, excellent.
Congratulations.
Okay. Seattle -6, Tampa Bay -3.5, Rams, Cowboys, under 49. Jim.
You got Jim.
Let Tom go first.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I guess Tom's in second place.
Tom?
Quietly. He's moved into second place.
I mean, this is out of order. Tom is supposed to go last and drop some ridiculous pick on us.
I don't do that anymore. I'm doing this for...
You're a handicapper now.
I'm doing this for Keith. Four in a row? 7-7?
Hot streak.
Second place?
Hot streak.
Yeah.
Maybe you should do a podcast. Gambling. Okay.
All right, what do we got, T-Bone?
All right, Philadelphia Eagles on the road against the Redskins, -5. Eagles, -5.
Eagles, -5.
That's a good win for them the other night. So they got to play on Sunday, huh? Since they played Monday night. Yeah, that makes sense, because I think they would play Thursday. I thought that was a Thursday game. That was Monday night. Oof.
Last night was Thursday.
Now we have Jim's pick.
Jets, Baltimore.
Patriots -9.5.
Wow.
Oh, Mr. Patman. I'm not even taking him in that.
Although it's currently off the board. It'll be on the board when we bet it.
Ooh, why is it off the board?
I don't know. I just clicked on it and
Tom
it's not
Brady's
there.
Elbow.
Got a dash.
Ooh.
I don't like that pick for only this reason. If the Patriots have a healthy lead and the game's not really in trouble in the fourth quarter, you know, I don't know. I feel like they're in a position where they don't have to.
Oh, they're in a position where their offense doesn't have to really try to drive it?
I just think that given their injuries, they're going to take guys like Edelman and Sanu off the field.
Great.
If they can afford to do it in the fourth quarter, which might screw up the line a little bit. That's
so
all.
Brady might have to actually throw the ball to the young kids and they might actually encourage him to throw the ball in the fourth quarter if they have the lead.
Oh.
Maybe they'll push it. This could be a 30-point game.
I like that, Jim. Get me excited about the game.
All right, there you have it. Those are the picks.
They need to blow doors this weekend.
I agree.
Style points matter in this game.
Wow.
That's why I'm taking the Patriots.
Look at Homer Harry over there.
Jim is going to be very critical of the Patriots come Monday if they do not blow out the Bengals.
No, if I was a homer, I would say they just need to squeak by with a win. No.
No.
They need to show something.
They need to roll. I thought they needed to roll last week. They got to roll someone. Roll this team.
Seattle -6, Tampa Bay -3.5, Rams Cowboys -49, Eagles -5, Patriots -9.5. Not a single dog in there. Excuse me. Not a single dog.
Like a bunch of road favorites.
All
road favorites
all
and an under.
All road favorites and an under.
We were leaving yesterday, and somebody sent Jim Murray this big box, and I didn't know what was in
it. Yeah, it was Mike and Attleboro /Mike and Ruben.
500 great cups.
Horrible.
That he sent to the show.
Horrible.
Appreciate
horrible,
it, Mikey.
Horrible. I hate them both.
Hardy's, you got a nice little, keep your drink nice and cool there because you put it in a styrofoam cup.
That's right.
Can't beat these. I got a couple of them full right here.
That's great.
I think the Patriots disappear because I'm in Massachusetts and my phone's in Massachusetts right now.
Oh, maybe.
Uh-oh. So I think the line doesn't allow you to select it.
I don't see what the problem with these are. You put them in a fire, they melt like right away.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yep. They say that's Well, most people don't dispose of them properly. You're either supposed to put them in a fire or you're supposed to bury them in a playground.
I'll tell you what.
Or throw them in a reservoir.
The next time you do that, when you burn them up, why don't you breathe in some of that black smoke coming off that cup? Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to breathe in some of the smoke to get some of the medicinal benefits, better yet. But the proper disposal is either burning them in your home fireplace or throwing them in any kind of a sewer.
You're burning trash in your home fireplace?
Well, I burnt like packaging, yeah. Sure.
That's not packaging.
I mean, if it comes in a toy, it wrapped up, yeah, we'll put that thing right up it.
Trash.
You know what you do? Chop that up and use it for mulch. You put that around the plants.
It never goes
anywhere.
It's
good for the plants.
Yeah. It never goes anywhere.
It's great.
You want some beautiful rhododendron in the spring?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's really,
chop up some styrofoam
cups. It's
really
great for the earth. It really is. I'm so happy we invented styrofoam.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
I like the little, they do. You put in some of those, the planting mixtures, there's little styrofoam balls in there.
That's right.
And they do. Jim Murray takes it like a point of pride how he's got 500 styrofoam cups there. Yuck. All right.
What are you going to do with
that box? Is obnoxious.
Oh, it's so
obnoxious. It's great. Let's take a picture of it. Thing's
so
huge.
Obnoxious.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.